Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and, like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm, like, taking pot shots at Brian Brom. Because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you. Because I just...
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
One thing of many you've got to respect about our next guest in studio, Brayton Wilson. You know what, Bulldog? I'll give you a mock draft, but I'm only doing one. That's it. I'm not going to change them every 5 days for clicks. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you who I think the first pick is, you know, that I know we won't be, and then come back a week later with, all right, I changed. No, Brayton would not do that.
No risers and fallers in Brayton Wilson's world there. And you didn't even go all the way through to pick 30, did you?
I picked all 32 teams. Oh, it's just I didn't, like, give reviews of every prospect. I only did the top 16, and then from there it was just like, oh, here's some names of dudes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're all real guys.
Yeah, they're all real. It was funny because...
it would be a good bit to just squeeze in somebody who's totally made up and see if anybody notices.
Right. So back in when the World Juniors was going on, Germany announced their team, and one of the Sabres prospects is Norwin Panocka, and I tweeted that out. Jeremy comes over to me. I'm sitting at the cubicle over in the newsroom over there, and he's just like, that player's not real. I'm like, yes, he is. He's a real player. He's like, no, he's not. It's just, you know,
John McEntee may not have been the fifth overall pick in my 2006 NFL mock draft. Can't say for sure. It's too long ago. Luckily, there's no record of it. So where are the tiers for you in this first round? Like, top tier is...
Two guys.
I want to say two guys.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Misa and Schaefer.
Yep.
Right?
That's right. And then after that, it's probably, you know, pick 3 through 10 where that next tier is for me. And then from there, it's probably pick 11 to, I'd say, 21. And then from there, it's kind of just a hodgepodge of everybody else from, you know, 22
to 200.
The second round. Yeah.
22 to 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad if you're
not. No. No, it really isn't. The Sabres are in a decent spot. You know, I talked to a couple of different draft people throughout the past couple of weeks, just asking, just like, you know, what do you think? Should the Sabres look to trade out of there? And some of them said, yeah, they probably should look to trade out of there, but the likelihood of doing that is not great. The last time they traded out of, you know, a team traded out of the top 10 was when the Senators traded a first-round pick for Alex DeBrincat, I think. And that, that was a few years ago. So it's more difficult to do that because teams are less likely to trade them. They don't want to trade that pick. But this year it seems like there's a mixed bag of people saying, yeah, no, it's more likely it's going to happen this year, or, oh, it's possible, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that can be more likely if you have a bigger top tier. Right, like if there's, you know, whoever's going to be the first guy might be the first guy, but if 2 through 10 are sort of a hodgepodge, then somebody might have a favorite guy and they want to come up and get him or whatever. But because I'm thinking about the idea of trading down, it just seems hard in a year where there isn't, you know, it's not that lucrative, right? Like why would somebody at 12 want to get up to 9? It just doesn't seem very likely.
Yeah, and we're seeing that a little bit right now with a team like the Islanders who, by all indications, they want to go up and they want to get James Higgins. He's a Long Island kid. They want to make a statement in terms of, you know, kind of telling the fans, hey, this is what we've got in mind for trying to do this rebuild that we want to do, that you fired Lou Lamoriello or didn't bring him back because of his contract or whatnot. But Matthew Darche is trying to make a statement here, and ownership really wants to bring the hometown kid in. They're going to pick number one. They're probably going to pick Matthew Schaefer. I can't imagine they're going to pick anyone different. But, you know, the trade of Noah Dobson today, I think, is a strong indication that they're looking to take the two picks they got from Montreal this year, package that somehow, some way to get up into a top five, even top six position to go get James Higgins and bring him in. It's enticing for sure.
I've not seen the details on that trade yet. One of those picks is this year, and is the other one?
They're both this year.
They're both this year, Montreal. Wow.
So the Canadiens give up their original own pick to the Flames, but the Flames traded. Either way, they had back-to-back picks, 16,
right.
17.
Okay, great.
The one is theirs, 17 is theirs. The one they got from Calgary is 16, so they had back-to-back.
Right.
They give up both of those in order to get Noah Dobson. So the Islanders are gearing up. Whether or not they're able to get it done and actually bring him in is the next question.
Right. Calgary first team out, Montreal last team in.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Hagans has kind of been on a bit of a tumble, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like that might be what is igniting this from the Islanders' standpoint. If it's being perceived as him falling as far as even the Sabres pick, say, then maybe they think that's doable.
And it's a bit surprising to me to see that the fall that James Hagans had. And I think it's solely just because his freshman year of college, he didn't get off to a great start. And then it seemed like people just kind of wrote him off just like, well, look at all the other prospects that are doing really well. Like, they got to go up and be the talk of the town. Whereas Hagans, yeah, he showed some upside, didn't get off to the best start, and he had a great World Juniors with Team USA, helping them go back-to-back of the World Juniors for gold medals. Like, he's a really stout playmaking sort of prospect. Yeah, he's only 5'11 and maybe 175 pounds soaking wet, but there's a lot of room for him to be able to continue his growth and development at Boston College. They still got a good program, even though he lost both of his line mates to the NHL this upcoming year, but he's still incredibly gifted with his playmaking, his vision on the ice. He should be a guy, at least in my mind, that's a top five pick, even a top three pick. But, you know, there are going to be teams that think, oh, you know, this guy, like a Caleb Desnoyer, he's a bit more sexier right now. He's a good two-way playmaking type of guy. Hagans maybe doesn't have the necessary two-way play right now.
It feels to me like the Florida effect. And maybe this can get overstated, but the heavy game, right? The bigger, tougher. Everybody wants to find a Matthew Tkachuk, right? So I think that's where a guy like Brady Martin from Sault Ste. Marie sort of comes to mind as someone who maybe he and Hagans are sort of swapping spots, because Hagans is 5'11", sounds like a Sabre draft pick, right?
Right.
Like undersized playmaker, good skater, you know, not worried about, you know, him getting bounced around because he's just so talented. And that, I think, is sort of fading in the league right now. And in vogue is like, give me a guy who's kind of mean and tough. And, you know, of course, I need skill. I need some talent to go with it. And that's Brady Martin, right? I got a guy that is going to, his elbows are going to be up. Right. And he's got a little more size and beef there. And I think the league is reacting, I think, to what the finals look like, or really what the playoffs have looked
like. It's always a copycat league.
Right.
Anytime that the Stanley Cup winner is out there and they play really well in the playoffs, every other general manager in the league looks to that Stanley Cup winner or even the Stanley Cup runner-up, and it's just like, how do we replicate that on the ice? How do we get that same style of play to come into factor with our team? And yeah, I think that's absolutely a valid point, where a lot of these other teams, these general managers, look at a Florida, even look at an Edmonton to an extent, and see what they built in order to get to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals for both of those teams. And they're like, okay, what does it take to get a guy like this, develop him, and get the most out of him once he hits the NHL level?
The Sabres just need a team to win the cup that's kind of, you know, easily pushed around, has a terrible power play and shaky goaltending. Then they would know that not have to do anything. We're all set. We're next.
Oh.
Brayton Wilson in studio. Brady Martin.
Yes.
Sioux Greyhounds, your pick in your mock draft at WGR550.com to the Sabres at 9. We talked to Scott Wheeler from The Athletic recently. He also mentioned this player. I was at a Sabres-Panthers game in Florida. I mentioned this game recently because of the parking situation back in 2007. Hmm. Conklin was in goal. My only time being in that arena. This player, Martin, was born the next day.
The weird things you think about.
I believe the next day.
Well, I already sort of teed you up on him already by bringing him up here. So, like, what's the appeal? Is he's kind of the whole package?
Yeah. He's just a big giant wrecking ball. That's the best way I describe him. That's the opening sentence I think I had in my profile of him at the website. He's just a guy that he's not super flashy right now, but he's got the potential to become something way more than he's already projected to be. He goes in and does the dirty work everywhere, and he does it almost with reckless abandon, where he'll put his head down, go into the boards, run you in there, make sure you know that he's coming for you, and then he'll immediately go to the net and find open space and put the puck in the back of the net. He just is relentless in every aspect of the game, both ends of the ice. He's really solid. I think just the thing about him that doesn't have him higher maybe up is just the fact that he's not a super skilled guy. He's not a guy that kind of just wows you with his pure talent.
Right.
He's just a hardworking kid. He's a farm boy growing up in Canada. Just he is a guy that knows how to put the work in and knows what it takes to put the work in order to succeed at the best levels that you can possibly get to. And that's what I think a lot of teams see as appealing with him, which is why if he's available at 9 for the Sabres, great. But I could see him easily going higher than that.
Yeah, I feel like a month ago, I think he was, you know, almost in the teens,
mm-hmm.
and Hagans was like in the top five, mm-hmm. and now I'm seeing them kind of not exactly flip, but I'm seeing Martin ahead of Hagans.
Yeah,
as we get close to draft.
Yeah, it is amazing too, because going back to Hagans a little bit, I've seen a couple of mocks and other people talk of just like James Hagans could fall down the board. How far he falls, we don't know, but if he gets to Buffalo at 9, I'd be intrigued in terms of, because he's so talented with the puck,
yeah.
and the way that he sees, and he's got eyes in the back of his head sometimes. On a rush, he could be totally looking off that player, know exactly where he is, and just no-look pass over to him to get a scoring chance on net. I'm interested to see where a guy like him, or even a guy like Porter Martone, another guy that has been talked about as a player that has been falling down draft boards. Why? I don't know.
Yeah. We are in New York.
Yeah. It's true.
Long Island, they can't pull it off. We are a New York Bulldog. Yeah. Tell them.
Do they have palm trees
right.
in Long Island?
What? So
not real ones.
This is probably unlikely to happen, but if we had a scenario where Hagans falls and Martin is still there,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting at 9, I mean, is how tough a call is that?
It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. I mean, for me,
Hagans sounds more like what they've drafted the last few years.
Yes, and Hagans is a guy that has the potential to actually be a number one center in this league.
Right.
With the skill, with the talent that he has. If he bulks up and can be physically just able to compete with the talent that he's also on the ice with, he has the potential to be a number one center in this league. And if I'm the Sabres sitting there, I absolutely am jumping to that opportunity. Brady Martin, I think he could be a really nice middle six piece at best.
Maybe peaking at
yes.
second line. Winger,
yes, I know. Right? I know people want to throw, and I don't like throwing comparisons of players around and just like saying like, "Oh, this guy reminds me of this." But like a lot of people say, "Oh, that Brady Martin at the top level could be the next Brad Marchand." And to me, you know, okay, cool, that's awesome. But to me, if James Hagans is there, or even a Porter Martone is there, both of those guys I feel have way more higher upside at the next level, and I think for what right. the Sabres need, they need that high-end talent.
Who are some other ideas, guys, that could be in the region of 9 if the Sabres just stay put and make the pick? Martin isn't there. Hagans goes earlier, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who are some other ideas of guys that could be in that neighborhood?
So in my mock draft, I have Radim Mirka going 8 to Seattle.
Yeah.
If he honestly was there, given the different circumstances or whatnot, he'd probably be my pick. 6'6", 216 pounds of a defenseman, Czech-born defenseman. Just a huge guy, skates really, really well. He's got really good long reach. Maybe not the most offensive guy, but he's certainly somebody that could be a top four defenseman in this league if he develops really well. He actually, I mean, given the way that the Czech defensive group, and just in the pure bigger scope of it, if he develops well, he might be the best Czech-born defenseman that's in the league at, you know, mm-hmm. at some point down the road. He's a guy that absolutely, given the right shot defenseman, a lot of teams are clamoring for those right. type of players. Why not? A couple of forwards I'm interested in. Go ahead, Mike.
Why not might be that they just made this move yesterday.
They did,
or
yeah.
Wednesday night. And I know you, in the NHL draft, you really shouldn't probably draft for need, if any,
right.
in any draft.
Right.
But like they've poured so much into defense, they've traded away goals. If optics mean anything here, drafting a defenseman at 9 would not be popular, I think.
I can understand that. I can understand that. Given, and just like what we talked about, given the needs of what the team needs, especially if a guy like Hagans is there or Porter Martone. Roger McQueen is another interesting name, for me at least, just because he's got this huge, insane frame of 6'5". You know, he's up in the 200-pound level as well, or, you know, he's a little under that, but he's got the ability to fill out that frame, and
right.
people throw the comparison of Tage Thompson out there. Problem with him is like Caden Lindstrom last year, where he dealt with some significant back injuries, lower back injuries that have plagued him not only this season, but dating back to last season too. As long as he can prove that he has put that behind him and that's not going to linger into next season and beyond, I could see him going much higher up in the draft, too, even being a option for the Sabres. And then another guy that's kind of like a guy I personally like, but again, one of those smaller forwards, is Victor Eklund. Eklund is just he's an energizer bunny out there. He skates hard, skates fast. He's one of the better, you know, smaller, complete players out there. He plays a really good 200-foot game. He played really well playing at the second-tier professional level in Sweden this past year. He's going to play there another year, but Djurgården's, the team he was on, is actually going to be back up in the Swedish Hockey League. He's a guy that if they want to trade down, like let's say that, you know, there's the thrown-out trade that they're looking to get Brian Rust or whatever, and they swap 9 and 11, a possible pick at 11 could be a guy like Victor Eklund for me.
Yeah. How enticing would the Islanders with 16 and 17 now, if Hagans falls and the Sabres are on the clock and the Islanders call and want to give up 16 and 17 to get up there to get Hagans? How good or bad an idea do you think that is?
So you'd be falling out of that tier that I feel comfortable with, where they're at 9 going to that next tier. Right. There's still some good talent in that next tier, but in terms of the projectability of them, like, oh, you know, the second tier of mine is just like, okay, probably 2-3 years maybe. And then you follow that next tier, it's like, okay, it might be a little bit more of a longer timeline or a more longer road at some point for them. Development process, exactly. I mean, if they're picking, if they do make that trade and they do get 16, 17 or whatnot, I mean, I'll throw the names that I had for Montreal. Justin Carbonneau, who's just a dazzling playmaker for, you know, up front. He played in the Q, and I always take the players from the Quebec Maritime Junior Hockey League with a grain of salt, just because that league is such a high scoring league, and there's really no physicality up there. Right. It's just, you know, goals, the games are going to be like 10-8, 9-7 sometimes. It's just high flying stuff and skill, but you know, when it comes to prospects developing into these complete players that can be really projectable at the NHL level, it's always difficult. But Justin Carbonneau is a really unique type of player. He can score, he can pass, he can kind of do it all. His defensive game, again, not really there, but at 6'1", 192 pounds, right shot, he's kind of attractive in that aspect. And then a couple other players to throw out there. Cole Reschny, he's a guy I really fell in love with as the season went on. Just a really, really gifted passer. Again, a smaller player, 5'10", 187 pounds, but he is a master at threading the needle and finding the smaller spaces that you can, you know, dish the puck to and get into the back of the net. And then if you're looking for maybe another defensive prospect that could be in that range in the middle of the first round is Logan Hensler, right shot defenseman. He played at Wisconsin. He kind of reminds me of a right shot Ryan Johnson, where, you know, his offensive numbers aren't great, but he can transition the puck really well. He's good at just getting from defensive zone to offensive zone. If he gets caught up in the offensive zone, he's got really good speed and power to get back to the defensive zone and defend real well. Really nice, well-rounded defensive prospect that could be of interest for the Sabres if they do move back.
What do you make of the fact that teams are not together in LA for this tonight, either as a fan, an analyst, you know, somebody reporting on it? I mean, usually we'd have Paul at the draft and he would be looking around the room and who's talking with whom and all that.
Yeah.
And maybe the NHL will get back to that. It seems to be what everybody says. Mm-hmm. But tonight, this weekend, will be different.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to like it. I mean, we see the NHL draft, even the NBA draft is kind of similar, where it's decentralized. Everybody's at their home base and, you know, we get the quick shot of, you know, the general manager and the head coach, you know, shaking hands, high five. Yeah, war room. I love the NHL draft because it's just so unique. And there's a lot of things about the NHL that's just so unique. I mean, one of the things we recently just saw was with when they present the Stanley Cup. Who's the first people getting the Stanley Cup? It's the players. And they cycle through every player before a coach, a GM, any front office executive touches that trophy. And that, I mean, that's one aspect of the NHL that's unique. Another aspect is the draft. You get everybody into one room, one arena, whatever it is. And you got GMs conversing with each other. You've got the players that come down. They're with their families. They're hugging, kissing their parents as they're getting their names called and everything like that. They walk down. They get that interaction. They're interacting with other prospects. And there'll be still some of that with this year's draft.
Right.
But, I mean, the extensive nature of the NHL draft every year is just so unique. And that's the one thing we're going to lose out on this year. And I get it. They're trying it out.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're already thinking, though, go back to the way it was next year.
I'm waiting to see how that happens. Like, the Sabres pick at 9. They announced earlier today that the Goo Goo Dolls are going to announce their pick.
Cool.
So, like, they pick who, you know, whomever comes out of the stand, because the players are there, right? Mm-hmm. So the player comes out. Are they hugging Johnny Resnick? Is that, like, is that what happens?
He won't be there. Right?
What do you mean?
They won't be in L.A. Are they?
I don't know. I was assuming that's what that meant.
Oh,
that
I was thinking
that they would be on site.
That or they could be on, they could, you know, be on site doing Zoom, I guess. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, they could be anywhere, yeah. I think.
But. Like when Alex Trebek announced Tim Stutzla to the Senators years ago, he was, sure. you know, that was COVID year, but still.
Well, next year's draft location has not been announced.
Hmm. Okay.
As they're probably trying to figure out what they're going to do for it.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Sabres will not have their second round pick next year.
Yeah.
By the way. Norris.
And next year's draft has said to be a very deep draft, even deeper than this one. So,
I mean, trade your first for a first plus next year.
Yeah.
Could the Sabres do that? Do they have to make this pick? Does everybody want them not to? Does everybody want them to trade it for somebody they've heard of?
Yeah. I mean, I think the overwhelming sense is they don't want the team to make this pick, but, you know, at this point, I don't see them trading out of it. I don't see them making any other sort of move that's going to deter them from picking at 9.
Sources close to the Goo Goo Dolls indicate to me that they are currently rehearsing in Los Angeles. So I think it's probably pretty likely that I guess they could be on from, you know, by Zoom from their rehearsal spot.
That's not, what I would think.
They're not Celine Dion. You know, Celine Dion, he was there for the pick last year for the Canadians.
I mean, is every team going to have somebody, like some celebrity in LA for them? I mean, I doubt it. Who's announcing these picks?
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Well, the Goo Goo Dolls will just do everyone.
That's one. Does it mean the Sabres won't trade it if they made that announcement?
Well, they didn't. It doesn't say they're announcing the 9th pick.
No, I know, but well, that's right.
Right.
But their first round pick.
Yeah.
Are they committing to making a first round
pick? Maybe they get to announce a trade.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, let's just not even speculate any further, so that we'll all be listening tonight to find out what happens. All right. Thank you, Brayton.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Brayton Wilson's mock draft is up at WGR550.com. You can read a lot about the prospects, one of whom probably will end up as a Sabre, whether he likes it or not, by the end of the night. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on this hot Friday afternoon. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
You know, Tuck, they are at least determined to take a run at signing him. I could see that being a very big ask, because Tuck is a really good player and the cap is going up and we're seeing a lot of these asks going up. I still think they're determined to sign him.
Hopefully Elliot Friedman right there is speaking of the Sabres. I'm sure he is. What Alex Tuck might be worth now. Certainty with the cap and a new CBA too. Like, it's weird for hockey to be so locked in here, but there is some certainty.
Am I being overly nervous if the way that that's phrased, the way that that's worded, sort of shook me a little this morning? At least trying to take a run at it. Yeah, I don't know. That just worried me. I don't know. I didn't like how that sounded.
I can live with it. I mean, I like him maybe as much as you do, but. The best case scenario for that is years of misery.
At the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, if they feel like they need to spend up for him at his age, it's Oposo. Maybe he lasts more than a month, unlike Oposo, like being actually valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 7 years of, we have to play this guy because we're paying him this and he's bad. I mean, just what a disaster. So I'm not making any assumptions about Tuck, other than by the end of his contract, he won't be, you know, worth it.
If it's an 8-year deal, which, you know.
Yeah. Probably by the midpoint.
Right.
He's not worth it.
Right.
But, you know, are the Sabres so disadvantaged that they feel like that's just necessary to do? I don't know. Like, it doesn't shake me to think that he might not be kept. Because I think if you could turn him into someone 5 years younger that is close to the same player, you would do it. And that's just, you know, that's just me as somebody that is not attached to anyone here.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Like, I know the story and I like the player, but I'm just, this is what we were told the morning guys were saying the other day. Trade anybody you want. I mean, make it good. Make it believe. Maybe for once, unlike the Utah trade, and I'm not meaning this as a criticism, but in general, like, trade for somebody that we can be excited about.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is that possible?
I want to try to take a run at answering your questions. Are they so disadvantaged as to have to overpay him? Yes. Yes, I think they absolutely are. I said earlier this week, and I wasn't just trying to be dramatic, like, if he wants, like, if he doesn't want to work with them, even, like, if it's got to be the max, and they're going to balk at that, and they lose the face of wants to be here, see it through, all that stuff, grew up with an Afinik Genov jersey in his closet, turn the lights out. You just cannot continue to have any, I mean, they barely have credibility as it is. I just feel like that would be symbolically, like, there is a point. Like, I guess what I'm telling you is, yeah, I'm willing to eat it for half of that contract just to avoid that. Try to fix this before it becomes a problem that he's not here and you have another top six forward to replace. You know, I mean, they tried to turn Dylan Cousins into something, and literally the whole production of the 2025-26 season might depend on Josh Norris playing 75 games. Like, he's getting $8.5 million. He's their number one center. That has to work. So trading Tuck for someone who's Tuck but younger, I don't even know if that's realistic, because the inheriting team is then going to have to pay Alex Tuck what he's worth. And we'll have the same problem the Sabres may have doing that with the long-range vision of it. And I don't know that I'm ready to trust them to even make a deal that would get them that guy that doesn't have a bunch of disclaimers on, oh, well, he's had three shoulder surgeries or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, Tuck might be in the most blank check position a hockey player has ever been in.
Well, he's not that good, you know? Like, just, you wanted the Sabres to show some pride when it came to Peterka. Like, keep your dignity.
Mm-hmm.
How about no? You want to move? You're not happy? You're 23. Shut up. How about no? Can't that apply here? I mean, he's good, but we're not treating you like you're going to the Hall of Fame, and we have to pay you top dollar just because no one else will play here, whatever the numerous points might be in that argument. I don't know. I'm not going to campaign for it. I just know that the way I feel as a fan, I'm indifferent. I'm largely indifferent. Can you be large? Can you be some percentage less than 100 indifferent? Whatever that is, whatever that word would be. I mean, I'm.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about everybody over there. You can't. I think you can't name for me a move that would really upset me, or whatever something more dramatic than that is. If they traded Dahlin for a draft pick, obviously that's insane. That won't happen, right? That won't happen, so that would upset me. But any sort of realistic, bigger version of Peterka, yeah, someone more established that, you know, you just, for whatever reason, thought you were better off without. They're not, it's not like that anymore for me.
Well, you're talking, I think, common sense, and I don't know if it applies.
Yeah, that's the problem. Question.
And that's not even like really. It's a shot at the organization, but the position that they're in, I don't think they have the luxury of being able to treat Alex Tuck objectively and fairly from a, you know, pros and cons, right? A cost benefit analysis. It's just, you're good right now, and you're from here, kind of, and you're really emblematic of a program that we've been selling. Not to great reviews, of course, but still, I just think they can't afford to not re-sign him. So it probably, I'm bracing for it to be an onerous contract. I think there's almost no way it won't be. You know, unless he is just agreeable to, you know, something less.
Something shorter.
Yeah, something shorter. Maybe shorter for bigger money.
Yeah,
but,
fine.
You know, are they...
That I would not criticize.
But that will push them closer to whatever their cap is. which is a problem, you know, that could impact your ability to get another guy to be, you know, a top six forward.
Right, because that I would not criticize, because it might be a sign that they're willing to spend up. It probably isn't, but then, like, that's allowed. You're allowed to spend more than they do.
Yeah.
And if it just happens that they spend all the way to the cap and keep him and are not set up for, you know, probably somewhat, maybe not quite disastrous later years, but not good either, that's fine. That's, I think, what's called for here. But they'd have to be willing to make that investment.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, 5 years, $40 million. Like, I wonder if that could get it done. Like an $8 million. I've not even looked at what his, you know, spot track estimated value. I don't know if Mike even does that for hockey players. I know often for football players, I like that tool on that site, like, you know, market worth. But 30 goal scorer, you know, good two way player, got Selke votes. That's probably an $8 million hockey player objectively in the league.
Yep,
right
fine,
now.
Fine.
So
I'm okay there, I think. Tony's with us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Two things come to mind as I listen to you talk. We'll start with Alex Tuch. I'm just kicking that can down the road 100%. I'm not going to feel, obligated for the extension because of, you know, losing him for nothing. I'm still protected by, you know, having the trade deadline and things like that. And we'll just kind of see where we are at that point. And if we can take a run at it, or the season's going well, and he wants to be a part of the team that breaks the streak, and that we'll talk to him, pre-July 1 next year. The other thing, is Bulldog, you just talked about the Norris contract, and it was interesting when you just said, hey, he's your number one center. And I don't know that I've ever looked at him that way, because I'm always coupling Kulik with Thompson. But let's just say for a minute that he can play up to that, even for 60, 65. I start to look at the middle a lot differently when I say, hey, you know, my middle two centers are Kulik and McLeod. Not bad.
Yeah.
Right? So if I take myself away from my top two centers are Kulik and Norris, and I move myself to, my middle two are Kulik and McLeod. Holy cow, what a difference that feels like, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Norris is such – I feel like he is – he's very easy to forget about, because, you know, he was in that trade. The season kind of circled the drain. We all – and he only played three games and then was injured, which has been his history. But the commitment is huge there. Like, there's no way they're not counting on that. It's part of the reason why, for me, like, you made that deal, you're counting on it. It's part of the reason I wasn't eager to go get Marco Rossi from Minnesota, because of the point Tony just makes. One of the strengths of this team right now, asterisk on Norris because of the injury, but they line up ideally. Like, they're all set at center. They even got Kozak in reserve if they need it, who can play a fourth-line role, I think, pretty comfortably. So I'm not looking to fill that hole, but Norris is such a – it's just such a risk. You just don't know how much you can count on it. Like, you're you know, any hiccup there away from Thompson having to play center again. And I don't know how much Lindy Ruff is going to love that if it comes to that. But Norris has to be factored into everything they're doing here. They gave up Cousins to make that happen, and he is under contract for a massive number. He's the highest paid forward on the team.
And we have no idea how he plays, really, other than watching him for Ottawa.
Right. It
just didn't really happen. What, two games?
Three, I think.
Three games?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. Here's Adam next. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
So I have a weird theory. Hear me out. I feel like Terry Pegula is setting this team up to trade them. Or
sell them?
Yeah. Like the little updates he did on the arena, like the new scoreboard, the new roof. It doesn't feel good. Like, I remember watching this team when I was a kid, and they were killing it. And it's not good. It's not good anymore.
Well, I have no idea if you're right, and I'm not even sure I would mind. So,
provided the team stays here.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to say. You could certainly guess anything you want like that. I don't know if it's true, and I don't think I would even mind, necessarily. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Hope everybody has an exciting weekend planned, or just a peaceful one. I'm a little both. Peaceful as in it's not driving 4 hours each way out Saturday in Sunday. But exciting in that tomorrow is the Scott Fishbowl draft live at Fatty Beer Wurlitzer Building. Excited about that. Bulldog, we may have a spot. I know you're riding, but you'll be done well in advance, I believe, to be able to jump over to North Tonawanda and draft with us. I think you don't have to ride your bike. You could drive there. No rules as far as that goes. Yeah.
I don't know what tomorrow is going to entail after the ride, because we're a media partner this year in the ride for the first time since I've been doing it. I don't know what the history of that would be, but 5 years now, this is year five, first time that we've been affiliated like that. So I want to sort of be around. Hang around. I'm a team captain. So usually, we ride. We get done at, 10 in the morning or something. It's, 2 hours and 45 minutes or so the ride takes, and we start at 6:45. So, grab a sandwich and sit with our friends that we rode with, and I'm home by 11 usually. I don't think tomorrow is going to be that way. I'm not expecting to be there 8 hours or anything, but I want to, I want to put some time in. Because I'm grateful that we are partnered in that way with Roswell for this. So I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. It's a long way to go. I actually have an excuse other than I hate fantasy football.
You don't even hate fantasy football. You hate people. That's why you won't come, because there'll be so many people there.
I love people. I hate people who love fantasy football. There, that settles it.
That covers a lot of ground.
Wait, that came out wrong.
That's a lot of us.
That came out wrong.
Right?
I didn't mean that.
You're Adam Krautwursts. Yeah.
While we're here.
Where are we?
We're at me thanking the people who helped me raise close to $3,500 this year is where we are. I set a goal of $2,000 when I started and blew past that. $2,500 became the goal that's another tier of fundraiser. It gets me a cool sweatshirt and a jersey that I can wear on the ride that brags about the fundraising, and also afforded me the opportunity to ride in tonight's Peloton, which I'm missing here because I'm working, but really cool. And then so this morning I got up and I was, I think, $120 away from an even $3,000. So I one last run at the fundraising and said, look, we're this far away from an even 3,000. Who wants to help me get there? And now I'm at 3,500.
Very cool.
The people out there are just you out there in the audience. I mean, I try to thank everybody on social media. That's largely where this is generated. Facebook, Blue Sky, X, Twitter. Thank you. Really. If you haven't heard me say it on the radio often enough, I mean, it's just incredible how much support there is. And I'm just one of thousands here that'll be riding, but you really did a great job for me out there. So I'm really, really grateful.
Facebook?
Yeah, man.
I think you mean OnlyFans, don't you? Don't you mean OnlyFans? All right, fine, Facebook. The Sabres have signed Jack Quinn to a new 2-year contract. They've made the announcement. An average annual value of $3.375 million. So not big money. Not that big of money. It's a 2-year continuation with Quinn, who, of course, they have to be hoping is back closer to the form he flashed before his leg injury.
Right.
What it maybe does is, yes or no, take him off the table.
Oh,
for
yeah.
The weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I would think that he's not on the market.
He could have been.
Yeah, he could have been.
But he wouldn't be now.
No. I'd be surprised that somebody would trade for him that they would be interested in trading him after that. I think they're making the bet that you just explained. Like, let's see. And it's worth doing. I don't know. The money seems a bit, it's not crazy money, but it It's more than I think a lot of people would have expected him to get. But he's a player still worth betting on. I don't want to bet on him to replace Paterka. Like, you know, do something better than that, because that's a huge loss if you do that. But he's a bet worth making. I think he did look promising before the Achilles tear.
And I'm not sure I used the word extension. This would not be an extension, right? He was an RFA.
He was an RFA.
So this is a new deal,
brand new deal, right?
All right. What will happen tonight? We don't know. Maybe you do. We'd like to know. 803-0550 is the number. A couple of hours out from the first round, the Sabres have the ninth pick. Is there something you would really love or really hate? Let me think about that one for a minute. Is there something tonight you would really love? Like, we would, if we had a show tomorrow and something happens tonight and we're sitting here tomorrow, or it's even that good that we have to come in tomorrow. We cancel the ride. We cancel the fishbowl. We all come in tomorrow. Insane as that would. What would that be?
This is Doug Marrone getting fired on New Year's Eve level.
Doug Marrone getting fired and Sidney Crosby being traded for right. Or something. Like, is there something so cool that you have in mind that would would rate like that? Or, you know, something terrible, but there's so often whatever the move is seems to be considered bad. And the results, you know, well, I guess justify that mostly. Lines open for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on this Friday. This is WGR.